always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Search teams looking for a missing marine chopper with five aboard. The Focus, a rural wooded area in Southern California. The chopper was flying from Nevada back to its home base in San Diego. A day after Republicans of the House failed to pass the impeachment of the Homeland Security Secretary or an aid package to Israel, a call this morning from House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries.
In order to get things done on behalf of the American people, Democrats and Republicans should be working together.
The Senate today expected to vote on the bipartisan border security measure, which also includes aid for Israel and Ukraine, but it is also expected to fail. In Israel today, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
The hostages are foremost on our minds and in our hearts.
Trying to find a way forward to a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. He's been meeting separately with the Israeli Prime Minister and the Palestinian President. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas will keep his job thanks in part to Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher. Gallagher joined three other Republicans and all Democrats in voting against impeachment yesterday. Gallagher calls Mayorkas incompetent for his handling of the southern border, but he says it doesn't rise to the level of impeachment. A Republican bill aims to ban so-called loyalty oaths from Wisconsin state universities and technical colleges. The target is diversity, equity, and inclusion, but Democratic Representative Jody Emerson worries about unintended consequences.
Would this mean that we wouldn't be able to have any college Democrats, college Republican clubs, any sort of religious organization clubs?
The bill got a hearing yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Law enforcement authorities with two armored vehicles responded to a domestic incident in Superior on Saturday morning. According to the Superior Police Department, officers responded to a man allegedly threatening his girlfriend with a rifle on the 1200 block of Birch Avenue. The woman and her children were able to leave the home safely, and the man allegedly exited the home with the rifle briefly before going back inside. He was eventually taken into custody around 7 a.m. without incident. The Lutzen Resort in Cook County suffered a large early morning fire just before 1 a.m. on Tuesday. According to the Cook County Sheriff's Office, crews responded to the resort near Highway 61 in Lutzen and found the main Lutzen Lodge building engulfed in flames and smoke coming from the lobby. Officials say no guests were at the resort when the fire started, and the only employee who was working escaped safely and reported the fire. Nobody was injured during the incident, and the cause of the fire is under investigation. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
The Bucks lose to the Suns. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were shorthanded and lost to the Suns in Phoenix 114-106. Giannis played, but without Lillard, Middleton, and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks are now 1-4 since they hired Doc Rivers to replace Adrian Griffin as head coach. Rivers blames part of that on the team's schedule.
You know, the Utah game, you kind of knew, you know, altitude, back-to-back. I mean, whoever scheduled a Dallas-Utah have never been on an airplane in their life, you know, or no time zones. I guarantee you when they looked at that before the year started, they were like, this was going to be a brutal game for us. So it's probably all that.
The Bucks are back home tomorrow night against Minnesota. NFL, the Packers' new linebackers coach is Anthony Campanile, formerly of the Miami Dolphins. Meanwhile, the Dolphins have hired Joe Barry to replace him. And former Packers and Bears assistant coach Luke Getsy hired yesterday as the new offensive coordinator of the Las Vegas Raiders. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Uh, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Are you ready to break some record high temperatures today? 46 degrees was set back in 1998, and today we're climbing to the upper 40s to flirting with 50 degrees. This is because of a south breezy wind gusting up to 25 miles per hour, pumping in the warmth and the clouds too. Currently, it's 39.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Greg Bach, Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest join us. He has joined us on the show many times before, and I've had the opportunity to talk to him numerous times over the years. Bob Bonadour heads up the planetarium at the wonderful Milwaukee Public Museum. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Good morning to you, Jane.
It's nice to actually see you. I don't think we've ever actually seen each other in person. It's always been over the phone before.
Oh, the magic of video conferencing.
Hey, now we get to look at your office and all the moon-shaped things you have behind you. So it's nice to see what happens behind the scenes, Bob.
Oh, thank you. It's fun. The earth is round.
What?
We all agree the earth is round. I like
flat
that.
Earthers, come at us. I dare you.
I like that as a starting point. We'll go from there.
Is that how you introduce yourself? Hi, I'm Bob. The earth is round.
Yes, most times.
Just to clear up any confusion. Okay, all kinds of things going on in the sky. Let's talk first about, okay, Bob, is it Halley's or is it Halley's Comet? Which one have we decided on, or are we still fighting about this?
Well, Edmund referred Halley, so that's the name of the comet, Halley's Comet.
It was Halley's Comet for a long, long time. We finally landed on Halley's. And is it going to be making a reappearance anytime soon?
Yeah, so in 37 years, it'll be back in our skies. It'll be very bright. So figure it out, everyone. Will you be around? I'm going to be 100. I'm going to be a perfect 100 years old when it revisits our skies. So I'm ready.
I'm excited because I was 8 years old when in 86. So I want to be there for the second time.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think, though, maybe this is just me, Bob, but if I look up and see, and I'm going to look for a comet, I want to see what they showed in Don't Look Up, that Netflix series where you could actually see the thing streaming towards Earth with a big tail, and it's very recognizable as a comet.
Hey, Downer. Just... Hey, Downer. That movie's about destruction.
It's also fiction.
And it was a movie.
It was not a movie.
Is it a movie?
So
not the real sky, not a planetarium. So, no, comets are look like fuzzy or hairy stars in the sky. and they can be bright, but that's very rare. We have not had a bright comet in the sky where you can just kind of go out and look at it, the average person, since 1997.
Oh, wow.
So that's a long time. Now, if you're more passionate and skilled, you can find them in dark skies with a simple pair of binoculars. Or, you know, we saw one back in 2020, but just barely in dark skies up in Door County. So a comet is a rare sight in our sky.
Bob Bonadour is our guest. He heads up the planetarium at the wonderful Milwaukee Public Museum, talking about all things celestial. Explain, okay, this is a leap year, Bob.
It is.
Does this tie into the Earth being round?
Well, sure, because I don't think we'd orbit the sun very well if we were flat. We're round, and we orbit the sun in 365.25 days, meaning we have a leap year or leap day, February 29th every 4 years. So we have one this year. And we can get more technical if you want, but it's just a fun day. And people who, you know, have their birthday that day love it because they get a real birthday, so to speak.
Right.
But anyway, that's a long story of why that date was picked and not another month and so on. But our orbit is not perfect.
Well, and it certainly speaks highly to the earliest astronomers that they were able to catch this. I mean, when did they start instituting a leap year?
Well, the Julian calendar back, if you think of Julius Caesar back 2000 years ago, was the first calendar, to have a leap day. And then, but that got out of whack over 1500 years because our orbit is actually a little less than 365.25. It's 365.2422. And by 1500 years, the calendar got out of whack by 11 days.
Wow.
So 1582. So imagine 1582, October 4th. The next day was October 15th.
That's what they did?
That's what they did to get things back on track. So, and now we skip a leap day every 100 years about. And so now our calendar is even more accurate, so we don't have to do things like that.
Just think how ticked off all those October birthdays were that they they got skipped in 1582.
Yeah, think about your paycheck.
Yeah.
I don't get paid that day for those 10 days. Time is a remarkable story how we do it. And it's crazy because we humans can be crazy. But if you think about the minutes and the seconds and just all the different times that we have, it's pretty wild.
Are there any, so going back to Halley's Comet, are there any other comets that have a regular cycle around this planet?
Most of them do. Okay. Yeah, most comets do. And a lot of our, and there's one as short as every 3 years that goes around the sun. And comets, the dust tails from the comets lead to our meteor showers. In fact, Halley's Comet gives us two meteor showers every year, one in April and one in October.
Bob, I just full disclosure, not the greatest science student in the world, but the concept and the subject of space is one of my favorite things. And the idea, like, oh yeah, it's the tail of the comet gives us two meteor showers. I mean, that is amazing. I love that. Keep talking, Bob.
How long's your show?
Well, we're
clearing the whole day.
We have until noon. I don't know what else you had scheduled, Bob. What else can we look forward to? Now, I know, and we did not talk about this when we were setting up that you were going to join the show today, but I did see something that, wasn't there a recent discovery of a number of galaxies?
Well, we're always finding more and more galaxies. With the JWST telescope, we can see further back than ever before, and we're discovering some of the first galaxies ever created shortly after the Big Bang. So that's been phenomenal to do, and it's, and the pictures, the closer galaxies, closer millions of light years, are just incredible that they've been producing. So just you can go to Google and click JWST for James Webb Space Telescope and just see just amazing pictures.
Well, and Greg is going to explode over here. So we're looking at what happened millions of years ago.
Sure. When you look into space,
Yep. You
look back into time. We experience light here instantaneous, right? We turn on a light switch, boom, light's there. But it actually takes a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a second for the light to leave the light bulb and reach your eyeball. But when you get into space, the distances are just so incredibly vast. It takes thousands, millions, billions of light years for the light of those stars to reach your eye.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. You should see, I wish you could see Greg.
He can't see me. Bob's very, very, he can't see me. I can't remember who I saw speaking about it. And forgive me if I'm going off the topic. It's a general space question. You can see the light from the Big Bang, and it has a name, right?
we can see the leftover heat.
Yeah,
it's called the cosmic microwave background. And it's we can image that. We have imaged that. And it happened about 300,000 years after the Big Bang. So it's the farthest thing that human eyes can see. And it's the leftover heat. Remember, the Big Bang was very hot.
Yeah.
And now after 13.8 billion years, it's cooled down. So the temperature of that cosmic microwave background is 3 degrees above absolute zero, or like over 400 below. Yeah. But we can detect that radiation with our new telescopes in space.
Yeah. Wow. Bob Bonadour is our guest. He's the head of the planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. Do you have something special coming up for Valentine's Day, Bob?
Every year we do. We have a great show for couples. I laugh because it's fun to do something out of the ordinary, and we just wax poetic and scientific about the night sky. And that's called Romancing the Stars. It plays this Saturday, the 10th, and then on Valentine's Night, the 14th. And if you got a hot date, come on down.
I do.
You'll be sitting in the dark with lots of stars overhead.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Is it weird if I just come by myself?
No, we have had a few.
Bob, that was not encouraging nor convincing.
It's mainly for couples, but there are some make-out parts of the show where you have to do some kissing.
Yes.
People can buy tickets at the website, Bob.
Yeah, they can go online at the mpm.edu website, and yeah,
we'll make sure.
Come on down. It's a fun show.
I bet it is. And is it what, an hour long or?
Yeah, it's about an hour. It's a lighthearted tour, and we just, it's just a fun show.
Well, and I just, for something different to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to, you can still go out to dinner maybe and get a bite to eat or whatever, but I think that's just a really cool option if you're looking for something different to do with your sweetie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you get awesome. A free rose and a free chocolate. Heart-shaped thing, whatever. So,
Bob, sell it more. Bob, sell it more.
Yeah, this is where the science. And then we play. We have a few poems by scientists, like "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star." I do not wonder what you are. By your spectroscopic ken, I can tell you are hydrogen. See how romantic that is?
I got the. Bob's giving me the vapors.
Astronomy humor. You got to love it. You got to love it. Anything else coming up at the planetarium real quickly in the couple of minutes we have left?
Well, if you can't make the show on Valentine's night, our moon will be passing Jupiter, the brightest object in the sky right now, and the moon. So that's kind of a neat sight on the 14th and 15th. You'll see it on the other side. And then Venus is still in the morning sky. And don't forget, everyone, or have me back on, Jane, there's a big eclipse coming on April 8th, Monday, April 8th. And we want people not to miss that.
Because this is going to be, the last time for an eclipse that you're going to be able to see from the States for a long time.
Well, a total eclipse. It won't be total in southeast Wisconsin here. It'll be 90% of the sun will disappear.
That's pretty good.
It would only be a slight darkening. And people need to watch it safely, because even 90% eclipse, the sun is still going to hurt your eyes. So we have eclipse classes here. And if people want to see totality, which is really cool, they have to travel a little south, Indiana, Illinois.
All right. Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Public Museum. Thank you so very much for joining us, Bob. It's always such a pleasure.
This was amazing.
Really appreciate it. We'll come and see you down at the planetarium, and we'll hold hands under the stars. All right, stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. It's fully leaded education talk. Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I saw the Ramones in that place on their last tour.
Oh, wow.
I was doing the club next door, and we just walked next door after our show.
Did you use the old We're the Comedians line? that's a big thing in stand-up. For those of you listening, comics will use that to get in anywhere. Hi, we're the comedians next door.
Yeah, we're the comics.
Like you're with the FBI or something. But sometimes it works. People are like, oh, that's so cool. Come on in.
Oh, you're comics. Yeah, come on in.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Reminder, Bucks fans, Bucks hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's tomorrow night at 6:30. And if you want to catch the game, you can listen to it on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS in Oshkosh, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM. That's the Bucks and the Timberwolves tomorrow night at 6:30. Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium, the Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Zoo. I love having him
museum.
On. He's so museum. he's so interesting. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I wish I had 10% of that. Now, I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flipping beautiful to me, just what happens out there and what we get to be a part of. And it's, we are lucky.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my birds. Oh.
Now we know.
More space.
Good, good. Well, we have another story about space.
Tell me it's a happy one.
It is a happy one. And I, Jonah Bellicus from Wisconsin Public Radio had this yesterday. Here's the headline. Sad tomatoes in space.
In space!
Wisconsin scientists develop tasty experiment to grow plants without gravity. So they're doing this at UW-Madison. They're looking at growing food in outer space to see how things will go without gravity. Apparently, plants grow a little bit slower and switch on a lot of their defenses. But the tomato plants were launched as part of Cygnus's mission under NASA. It left Cape Canaveral in Florida on January 30th, then successfully docked at the ISS a couple of days later. So the tomato experiment, known as Tasty,
I love that,
is being overseen by UW-Madison and University of New Mexico researchers. The project name is short for Trichoderma Associated Space Tomato Inoculation Experiment.
You know, it's just like,
it rolls right off the tongue.
I know. It's like, that's how I met your grandmother. The Tasty Experiment.
I just thought Sad Tomatoes in Space would be a good name for a band.
I would listen to that band. They go on tour with the Flaming Lips.
Right.
Or
they would fit right in.
Another band name, which is wonderful, and They Will Know Us by the Trail of the Dead. That's a great band name, too. That would go that whole package tour right there. Sad Tomatoes in Space. I like the way the article is actually written. It's written like, it could be really boring.
But it's not.
It's not. It's written really well. It's really fun, and it has a cute little tongue-in-cheek romantic aspect to it. Because we don't want tomatoes to be sad.
Of course not. We want happy, juicy, luscious tomatoes.
We don't want killer tomatoes either.
That's a whole different experiment.
That's right? A whole other movie.
That's a whole different thing.
I'm sorry. I'm still happy about space talk.
I know you're all geeked up about this.
And Brittany's going to be on the show and talk cool things about the weather.
This is like
later.
The best day of your life.
I know. Like, all I need is a big sandwich and a nap. And it would be the best
day. And the
day
is done.
Day is done. Day is done. This is a really fun thing. And they're doing it to help promote good eating in space. Like, they want to take them up there so they have
healthy things to eat.
Healthy options. Cause I imagine you can only eat so much freeze dried food. But I wonder, that's a fantastic question. I'd love to ask someone who might know, if we have connections to either NASA or just that program, is, you know, when we think of space travel, we always think of freeze-dried food and all these things. And what do they actually eat? Is it all of that, or do they have other options? You know, like, what is what we think we know versus what actually happens in space?
That would be that's a great question.
I would love to know that. I would love to know that.
You would think it would. How though would you supplement something in space?
How do you mean?
As far as having fresh things, are you going to have dehydrated lettuce and then you add some water and you have a piece of lettuce?
Possibly, yeah. But also, I know that one of the problems in space travel is like even down to like molecular things getting into the suits, getting into all the working pieces of the ship are dangerous. So that's why things can't be like, you know, small or like granular. So like, I wonder, we need to find out.
Well, now we're going to have to contact the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Okay, I'm on it. That's going to be the first email after the show today.
Simon Gilroy
is a
botanist who runs the lab that studies plant development, and we can talk about tomato stress.
And happy tomatoes.
Again, thank you to Jonathan Pelikas, who wrote this article in WPR, Sad Tomatoes in Space.
We will link this as well.
Wisconsin scientists develop tasty experiments to grow plants without gravity.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun. We're going to have Simon on the show. We're going to be best friends. We're going to hang out with Bob. We're going to eat space tomatoes while talking about the stars. Okay. You've made my life so happy, Jane.
Again, I'm delighted that we found your birds, because we discovered over the last few months that I get all verklempt and all happy about birds. And now we know that space is Greg Bock's birds.
I love that.
For what that's
worth.
That's
a t-shirt.
For what that's worth.
Papa Rico wants to know about bacon. And I guess, like, do they eat bacon in space?
You can't fry it in space.
Can't fry it in space.
That's going to be a problem.
And raw would be dangerous.
Yeah, I can't do that either.
Maybe it's pre-cooked, vacuum sealed, and specially taken out.
I have questions. That makes me suspicious.
That's when we're going to have Simon on the show, and we're going to talk about what they...
explain all of it?
We'll talk about happy tomatoes, mm-hmm. but then we'll figure out what do they eat in space.
What actually happens up there?
Do you believe in space?
When we return, we have news coming up in just a little bit. Stay tuned for Peach Wabba does an entertainment minute now.
Yeah.
At the bottom of the hour, which is really a lot of fun. And I was listening to Pete. He was on Todd Alba's show yesterday. I mean, he wrote TV scripts and movie scripts, and he lived in Los Angeles for like 15 years. And
I want to be friends with Pete.
So the man's got connections in the industry. So if you're an entertainment fan, you certainly want to check out his show. It airs across the Civic Media Radio Network every Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. News coming up next, and then the Guinness people. That wasn't very nice.
What are you doing, Guinness?
That wasn't very nice. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love you. Song, let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers are considering letting prosecutors have more time to bring charges for serious crimes. For now, prosecutors have 1 year to bring an accused offender to court. A new bill would extend that to 3 years. Supporters say it can take longer than a year to match DNA evidence to a suspect. Opponents say the state should hire more crime lab workers to make the job faster. People starting new farms in Wisconsin are encouraged to consider leasing land instead of buying. Steve Okunik is with the University of Wisconsin Extension. He says leasing land is often easier for startups.
Especially if you're a new person coming into a neighborhood, it can be very difficult. It comes down to networking.
Nationwide, the number of new farmers with less than 5 years of experience has gone up by 17%. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the State Department of Transportation have announced $10 million in grant funding for harbor maintenance and improvement projects. According to a press release, the grant funding includes $800,000 to stabilize the shoreline in Superior and remove a failing dock wall on the St. Louis River. The city of Superior will also receive $3 million to rebuild a dock wall along Elkhorn Industries property and dredge the bed of the Superior Bay. A Duluth man has been arrested in connection to a February 1st stabbing. According to the criminal complaint, 44-year-old Charles Nauer was arrested and now faces two felony charges in connection to the incident in an apartment building on the 6700 block of Redruth Street. Law enforcement authorities say Nauer and the victim were allegedly in an altercation prior to the stabbing, and his blood alcohol level at the time was 0.25. The victim was taken to the hospital for treatment and has since been released. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Earl Ingram. It's Black History Month. I'm honored to welcome some special guests to talk about it. Professor Bob Harvey will be here this Thursday, February 8th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll discuss Black history like only Professor Bob Harvey can. And you can be part of the conversation, too.
Don't miss the Earl Ingram Show with special guests throughout Black History Month here on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
With a 60-second showbiz beat, Tracy Chapman's Fast Car shot to the top of the iTunes charts after her performance with Luke Combs at the Grammys. The song debuted in 1988 and put Chapman, who is now 59, on the map. The song only reached number 6 on its first go-round. Combs' remake of the song reached number 2 this year. Fast Car was up for Song of the Year, but did not win. It did win Song of the Year at the Country Music Association Awards back in November, making Chapman the first Black woman to win said award. Combs honored Chapman by remaking the song, saying it was his favorite song before he even knew what a favorite song was, saying all people can relate to it. That's about the nicest story I've heard all day. Let's go to the vault for one of Pete's picks. The film Saltburn is making news lately, and it's not for everyone, but Emerald Fennell's previous film, Promising Young Woman, is a great movie. It's a bit dark at times, and has suspense, some great acting, and if not a happy ending, an uplifting one. Check it out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Are you ready to break some record high temperatures today? 46 degrees was set back in 1998, and today we're climbing to the upper 40s to flirting with 50 degrees. This is because of a south breezy wind gusting up to 25 miles per hour, pumping in the warmth and the clouds too. Currently, it's 39.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Bonsoir.
Oh, hello.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Shout out to everybody listening in La Crosse on WLCX The Eagle. Thank you very much. You can always call. You can always text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Leave a message on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Bob Bonadour was here from the Milwaukee Public Museum, head of the planetarium there. Had a lot of fun with him.
Yes.
We're going to do a little housekeeping before we move on to what happened to this poor Frenchman in the and his dispute with the Guinness people.
His right to be amazing is what it is.
It's pretty astonishing. But yeah. A couple of things. Yesterday we were talking about seatbelts.
And how they are not an infringement on your freedom.
There's a gentleman who's running for office in Oklahoma, I believe.
LaRose, Frank LaRose,
thank you. Who said that, government overreach with seatbelts, it's way too much. It's way too much governmental control. So we were just talking about seatbelts and different people were calling in with different things about what they will cover and what insurance companies will cover if you're in an accident and you're not wearing a seatbelt. So one of my sisters listens occasionally.
She lends us an ear.
From time to time. And she worked in the insurance industry for many, many, many years. So she heard this discussion and then she texted me last night and said there was someone who claimed an insurance company can deny a claim if a person isn't wearing a seatbelt. I thought that was wrong, so I checked it out. If you don't wear your seatbelt, it will lower the value of the person's claim for money, but they cannot deny it. So if you're in an accident and you're not wearing a seatbelt, they will cover it, but you'll get less.
You hear that, people? You don't wear a seatbelt? Insurance companies think your life is worth less.
Also, life insurance does pay if a death is a suicide, provided the policy was purchased 2 to 3 years before the death.
That's one I feel like shouldn't be public knowledge, but yeah.
Again, this is just referring back to some things that we were talking about yesterday, and I like to clear things up.
Absolutely.
Get things clarified.
And you said that was industry-wide. That wasn't just that company specific.
I believe that, what my sister texted me, I believe that is an industry standard.
Yeah. The other thing we wanted to talk about today, I just brought this up as a feeling of goodwill and fun and niceness, and actually, Pete Schwab mentioned it during the bottom of the hour new entertainment update, is that in our 24-hour news cycle of just craziness news, of just things going to be happening, all that content.
So quick.
We are still talking about Tracy Chapman and Luke Combs performing together at the Grammys on Sunday. That was like nearly 72 hours ago. I love that. Something so simple, so beautiful, like a song, two people singing, stopped us, and we're still discussing it. Tracy Chapman's beautiful. That song is beautiful. I big up to Luke Combs for choosing that song.
Yeah, to do a remake of it.
And really, like, since the song came out, too, is something we didn't talk about. Since the song came out, and he won, I believe, a CMA award. He has really done everything he can and Tracy Chapman won for Songwriter of the Year, the award. He's done everything he can to highlight her and make sure she gets all the flowers, gets the stage. For someone who Tracy Chapman looks like doesn't like attention, she seems
she's a very, very private person.
Yeah.
Always has been.
But I just think this is an amazing thing. I love it so much. I love that we're still talking about it. And heck, Tracy, Luke, come on in. Talk to me for a second. Do more songs together.
That's a great idea.
Thank you.
If you haven't had an opportunity to see the video yet from the Grammys on Sunday night, I've watched it like 3 or 4 times now, and I just cry because her words, it's still such an impactful, honest, painful song.
Yes.
That I think is still applicable to so many people today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a heartfelt performance. And you had pointed this out on Monday morning, Greg, I think before we even got on the air. The look on her face when she realizes that the crowd has recognized her.
Yeah.
And you can hear the swell of cheers as the audience is going, oh, wow, that's Tracy Chapman. And the look of recognition and just joy that crosses her face is It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? I think I'll probably try to find the best clip possible, and I'll
put it in the show notes.
Just seriously, do yourself a favor. Take 3 minutes to yourself. Watch this video. Don't just listen. Watch it.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is Luke Combs is so cute because he's just watching her the whole time and he's mouthing the words while she's singing. He just looks so happy and excited. I just love it. It's as John Oliver says, this is Seth Meyers. This is what the world needs right now. This is the news we need right now. I think it's lovely and beautiful.
Yeah. Some good stuff to enjoy and watch over and over and over to make it feel good. This is kind of a sad story. At least if you are Richard Ploud, who is from France.
I've been Richard Ploud before. What? Richard. I love wine.
Richard spent 8 years, Greg. 8 years.
That's a long time. That's two leap years.
8 years gluing together 706,900 matchsticks.
Say that number again.
706,900 matchsticks. Yeah. In order to make a 23.5-foot model of the Eiffel Tower. He made a 24-foot model of the Eiffel Tower out of matchsticks, which beat the existing record by whole 2 feet.
Yeah.
So Richard figured, this is a lock.
Yeah.
I'm a lock for the Guinness Book of World Records, creating the largest model of the Eiffel Tower out of matchsticks. No.
Sorry, said the Guinness people. Guinness World Record people, not the beer.
Mr. Ploud says he was told. Mr. P was told he used the wrong type of matchsticks in order to qualify for the record because they weren't made commercially available.
What does that mean?
We'll have to ask the Guinness people. They were not commercially available, these matchsticks. Therefore, his 8 years of work has gone down the drain.
Which also means if they weren't commercially available, that means these matches or matchsticks?
Matchsticks.
These matchsticks were custom made then. How much money was spent for this? And how quickly does he get to sue the Guinness people?
Oh, do you get to sue them?
No, you don't. I know there's no lawsuit, but I want someone to pay, and it's not going to be the Guinness people.
Mr. Ploud put on Facebook, the Guinness Book judges delivered their verdict without actually seeing my tower in real life. He works for a local authority in France. He said Guinness told him that the matches must be available commercially and can't be cut, disassembled, or distorted beyond recognition. As the matchsticks were not commercially available and weren't recognized as matchsticks, the attempt has been disqualified.
Yeah, the Guinness people, they're kind of finicky. And if you want a deeper dive into this, I was telling you earlier, Jane, that last week tonight did an episode on
the Guinness Book of World Records.
They did on Birdie McHammerdoff, which is the president of, I'll say it again, Gurbanguly Birdie McHammerdoff, which is the president of Turkmenistan, who is, I didn't make those words up, guys. It's his name. Gurbanguly Birdie McHammerdoff. He is obsessed with world records, and he has built structures in Turkmenistan to get the Guinness people there. And they dove deeper and found out that the Guinness people are kind of friendly with some of these more authoritarian.
Autocrats?
Yeah. And they'll go all over the world, but then they'll say, like, oh, no, we won't send. Like, the whole conceit was they wanted, last week tonight, wanted to build the biggest
something
cake.
Okay.
And the Guinness people said, no, thank you. We're not going to do that. They had a world record cake. They built a world record cake.
On the day, last week tonight.
Correct. And the Guinness people said, no, thank you. So they're finicky, and it's weird. And the fact that they wouldn't even send someone to go look at this is mind-blowing.
But see, what I find questionable about this, if you are going to spend 8 years of your life making a 24-foot-high replica of the Eiffel Tower before you start, wouldn't you make sure you had all the rules correct?
I mean,
wouldn't you just send one email and say, hey, I'm going to try and build this thing out of matchsticks. Are there any requirements per matchstick.
Jane Madnair on the side of Big Guinness, on the side of Big World Record Book.
It's just an enormous undertaking, and I would think that you would want to make sure you've got everything lined up correctly before you jump into this.
I don't disagree with you on that, but I still think you're wrong. I know. I at the end of the day, I mean, he's still going to get attention. He's getting it.
He's getting it now.
Yeah. And maybe there's a way that Guinness people could, you know, loosen their drawers a little and be a little cooler about this.
He posted on all caps on Facebook, big disillusion, disappointment, and incomprehension. They tell me that the 706,900 rods stuck one by one are not matches, and they are too cut to the point of being unrecognizable. Clearly, the English are different, he said. Guinness is based in London.
Yeah.
But he ended his message with, no offense to the English.
Well, we just got a couple of actual texts here. Scott from St. Louis said, fun fact, Greg, the beer people and the world record people are the same Guinness. I didn't know that.
Just an offshoot of the Guinness beer.
Yeah, and another one said, the Guinness record people and the Guinness beer people were originally the same to settle bar disagreements, which now I want to know more about. But here's the thing is, here's how petty I am. Is I would be like, oh, it doesn't look like a matchstick. Oh, you won't give me the record? Burn it.
No, see.
To the ground.
No. Jeez. A revolutionary. No, you lobby them to start a new category.
Yeah.
For not commercially available matchsticks.
For creatively.
And then you own it, Mr. Plowed.
I feel like Mr. Plowed is the most American way of saying this. Plowed. I don't know. Francois Plowed. For all our French listeners, I am not sorry for the Pepe Le Pew / Chevalier type accent I am doing right now. Also, Gurban Gulli Birdie McHammerdoff. I can say whenever I want.
That's quite impressive.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm really impressed that you got right off the tongue.
All those syllables right come off dancing off the tongue of one Greg Bach, who loves space.
Papa Rico on the live stream wants to know, did he really carve it out of one piece of wood? No, it was 706,900 matchsticks.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't, he didn't carve it, he glued it.
He glued it.
Essentially. Yeah. And Papa Rico also says, I have a Wonder Oven I'll sell you. Don't tease me.
Jane, look at me.
Yes.
Do you need a Wonder Oven?
No, I don't need a
Wonder Oven. No, you do not need a Wonder Oven.
Fine, thank you, ruin my day. When we return.
Whatever.
We're going to end on an upswing and weather and wine with Civic Media's meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We'll be talking
Merlot,
about,
that's French!
We'll be talking about all the mild weather and when and if it's finally going to return to winter. It's Wisconsin. We're not out of the woods yet. I don't trust it. Mother Nature, she's not done.
I got a preview this morning, so I don't think you're going to like the answer, but you know.
Stay with us, Brittany Merlot, when we return. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays,
disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions, get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, philosophy you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. She is our meteorologist for all of civic media. We love it when she can join the show. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. How you doing, Brittany? Good to see you.
I'm good. How are you, Jane?
We are good. We're finally starting to melt most of what's left in Waukesha. Mm-hmm. I know Wausau and a lot of areas to the north, and we've talked about this before, Brittany, really have missed out on a lot of the snow. And now, is the whole state this incredibly mild right now?
Oh, goodness. It really is. I mean, actually, here in Wausau, we just broke a record of we've never had no snow on the ground for over 7 days. And today is day 8.
In history, so, and never, ever.
Ever. Never, ever in history.
We did it.
Yeah. We did it. Yay.
Yay.
Guys. Oh, God.
Well, people we've talked about this. I mean, people up north in parts of the state that need snowmobile riders and cross-country skiers and all those things, those folks are really, really hurting. Yeah. Is this going to change anytime soon, Brittany? What is this mild weather pattern look like going forward over like the rest of February?
Yeah, sure. Well, first, we're still going to keep breaking records. Today, Richland Center, Eau Claire, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, even Hayward breaking records. I know you guys stayed a little bit cooler into the lake area in the south, but we have just been shattering records. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days in a row, basically. So it's been crazy, and we're going to continue that tomorrow, too. Actually, Waukesha, you might break a record high tomorrow. So,
What are we looking at? Is it like 51?
You're looking at 53 degrees, and that's the record. So maybe you'll tie it. Maybe you'll beat it. We'll see. But yeah, so continue the records today, tomorrow, and then we cool down a little bit. So the system's going to hit. It's going to bring some light scattered showers tonight, rain tomorrow, nothing too heavy, just a trace to a quarter of an inch max. We could hear rumbles of thunder, though. If I'm going to have no snow, I better hear some rumbles of thunder.
And I want a good storm. Is this are these the remnants of that huge system that was just drowning California?
Yes, it is. So thankfully it's dying out as it gets here. We're not seeing much of that storm. The winds are going to ease too, but by the lake, you could see gusts up to 40 miles per hour tomorrow. So that's a little feisty there.
Yeah. All the surfers are going to be out in Sheboygan.
They are. Yes, they are.
Something we talked about this morning on Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is he had a question, which was, are we going to be seeing any colder weather? And I know when he said that, he was thinking of more February winter cold snap. And your answer to that was?
No, I don't see it. I do not see cold snaps, no polar vortex weakening and coming down here again. I don't see it. I do see more average temperatures to close out the month of February, mm-hmm. you know, highs in the upper 20s to mid 30s kind of vibe. But that's the end of February.
Yeah.
We're still going to hit those upper 30s to low 30s as we go through beginning of February. So, I mean, nothing too warm headed our way, but nothing too cold either. So we're just going to mild things out, I think, for February after this.
Which shouldn't honestly be too much of a surprise, because we had you on months ago. We had you on last year talking about El Nino and that it was going to be a mild winter. So I always think about that whenever I hear people talking about, oh, the temperatures. I'm like, well, we were kind of told this was going to happen. It's not going to be a super cold winter. It's not going to be tons of snow. And yeah, we just got to deal with it and move on. Here comes spring.
Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is our guest for Weather and Wine, talking about this incredibly mild weather we've been having and whether or not that's going to be changing anytime soon. The bigger concern, though, Brittany, going forward again without the snow cover is possible drought conditions.
Yes. Absolutely. I'm already worrying about that up here in the northern half of the state, because we didn't get that snow that you did.
Right.
So we've missed out on a lot of precipitation. Now, things are trying to change. I've talked about the Arctic Oscillation before. It's already swung negative. That means more storms can start to hit us. And tomorrow, right? We're going to get hit. So we just need those temperatures to fall a little bit. So the word snow isn't out of the picture. I'm going to be saying Friday morning, northern half of the state might see some very light snow, about an inch. But around Valentine's Day, thinking Valentine's Day at night, we could see a system, not too heavy, but enough to give us a little bit. And then we're still looking active as we close out the month of February in terms of storms. So, fingers crossed.
Again, it's Wisconsin. We've had snow in May. You know, I can remember it was May 7th or 8th. This is going back a number of years.
1991.
But the trees were all budding out and everything was budding out. And then we got this really terribly wet, heavy snow, and it did so much damage.
Yeah.
Because the trees were at that point where they were already blooming and stuff. So hopefully that's not going to be the case.
I hope not, but I do fear that. I have a feeling something like that's around the corner. You know, an April storm, potentially, we'll see.
Yeah.
If that happens, at least it usually only lasts a day. And then maybe most of the snow is gone in a week.
That's what happened, that snowstorm.
That May storm.
I remember waking up in the morning, like 5:30, seeing it snow, going to my mom's bedroom saying, it's snowing out. And she said, no, it's not. Go back to bed. And then the next time I woke up was her saying, you have the day off from school. And by the end of the day, our driveway had melted. Like, all the snow on the driveway had melted. Just May of 1991. I remember that day. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. Know. And and we will always come back to you, our favorite and only meteorologist.
Okay. You didn't have to put the only part on there. Wow.
Our favorite meteorologist with a barometer collection.
How much is our favorite meteorologist, period?
That works too.
But with all the qualifiers.
Absolutely. Brittany Merlot. Like, thank you so very, very much. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Always appreciate you stopping by the show. Have a great day, my friend.
Thank you so much, Jane and Greg. Have a great day, everybody.
You too. Stay tuned for the news, followed by the Todd Alba program. Thank you so very, very much for joining us today, for listening and calling and texting. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC